जय माँ। सो वी आर एक्सप्लोरिंग द मिस्ट्री ऑफ द अल्टीमेट रियलिटी नोन एज ब्रह्मन इन इंडिया एज दाओ इन अनदर काइंड ऑफ अप्रोच द एंशियंट चाइनीज अप्रोच एज सोर्स एब्सोल्यूट इन क्रिश्चियन थियोलॉजी। सो ब्रह्मन ऑफकोर्स वर्ड इज अ वेरी illustrative word because Brahman means not only that which is but also it implies within it an increase. So it's very strange. What is also increasing. So in a certain sense it's inclusive of creation because what we see in creation is that it is endlessly increasing. And there have been attempts to arrive at that, and depending upon the nature of the attempt or effort there have been schools of thought. But almost all schools of thought so far, there have been some which have tried something else, but by and large, they eventually discard creation as, the explanations are different, but ultimately they discard creation and take that as the only reality. It's almost like telling, person who has supposing written a book, that your characters, your book, your painting, nothing, I am not interested in any of this, even saying that, it's horrible. But telling him, but you are full of delight. You are very nice. Sometimes when you have to make fun of a person, you say, basically you are very nice, but as a doctor, what you do is horrible. Now, you don't know, is it a praise or is it a blame? So perhaps we have not understood the mystery. Somewhere something is missing. At least we don't know the reality in its totality. And Sri Aurobindo takes the reality in its totality and he starts by the hard facts of existence. And what are hard facts? For example, when we say it's all Maya, and at the end when we say Maya is just an illusion. So all this suffering, joy, sorrow, all this is an illusion. So who created the illusion? With whose permission? And if this illusion is simply a random sanction of Brahman, okay fine, you want to play a little bit, play. And it creates illusion, then there is sanction even for the horrifying things in the game. And not only that, it should be some mechanism that the day you feel, oh, it's horror, you should say, I want to just go back, aham brahmasmi, and you realize. It doesn't work out like that. It's not like, in London they have that, no, Madame Tussauds. Strangely, they have a underground tunnel which is like a horror show. So, but there is a difference between that and then the one they have in Chennai. These are very nice examples to illustrate. If you go into the London thing, Madame Tussauds, that horror show, you have to pay first of all. Then you are made to sit on a carriage. Now when you are in the carriage, now you can't go out, you may shout, scream, feel bad, close your eyes, but you have to go through the whole process. The only purpose it serves is maybe you can appreciate what you saw earlier a little better after coming out. But in the Chennai one, it's easy. It's just something straight. You enter and you feel this is horrible. You just come out. You don't have to go through that whole process. So if this is by mistake, this happened, then if we expect divine to be at least a little intelligent, compassionate and loving, he should have a mechanism that come back. But here we can take an analogy of a child with the parent. For a child, entering into the school is no less than a horror show. Do the parents say, come back? They encourage the child to go through the whole process. At the end of it, you will discover what the game meant. So the problem is that we have seen the film of creation till interval. And we have drawn a conclusion. We want to just come out. We don't want to understand what is this movie about. And Shobindu is making us understand in all the details, taking complete account of every error, pain, suffering of creation. And what is more, as we read last time, he takes full responsibility. He says you can't pass the responsibility to man who has come much later. His soul is a partly, you know, and it's true that man's mind has its own role to play. But he takes complete responsibility that at the end of the day, it is the creator who is responsible. And he is taking full responsibility. And therefore, if you see Sri Aurobindo's main refrain throughout, which is so difficult for people to understand, because we are used to, I am the one, I have to make efforts. Effort is needed here also. But what kind of effort? He says, open to the mother. She will take you through everything. Which is very difficult for human mind to understand. Because I have to do something. It's so good to sit in cross-legged position, not speak to anyone, suddenly concentrate on something. It's very like I'm doing yoga. But when Sri Aurobindo says, mother is doing the yoga for you, open to her. Now, mother, you'll take away even this credit. It's very difficult that mother is doing the yoga. And you read through the letters. This is the refrain of Sri Aurobindo. It's not something which I'm saying randomly. Many people find it very difficult. Because yes, the creator is responsible for what he has made. And there is a purpose, and that's what Sri Aurobindo is explaining. Now he takes up in this chapter, which we are reading, Cosmic Illusion, Mind, Dream, Hallucination, all the various dream, mind and hallucination, all the different ways we have tried to explain. Because creator is Sachidananda Brahma. He is pure existence. He is beyond grief. He is beyond suffering. He is all bliss. He is omnipotence. He is omniscient. But here we don't experience it. So one of the ways that has been used is that it's a dream. Sounds very neat, but there are several problems here. That's what we are going to read. First of all, who is the dreamer? Who put me into this sleep where I am dreaming these horrible things? Actually, in the Western world, they made a movie called He-Man, one of those earlier. And usual thing, they picked up something from Indian thought and tried to, you know, one day He-Man feels that he is all tied up in all kinds of ropes and he can do nothing. Then suddenly somebody tells him, you are a He-Man. The same idea, but in a very crude way. But nevertheless, he says, he wakes up and he realizes that he's all powerful, all these are nothing. Then he raises a question, which I feel is a very valid question. But who put me in here? Who imposed on the soul this kind of a dream state? Okay, if it imposed, if it is, he is all blissful, it should be equally blissful. Okay, go take a stroll and come back. Even human parents will do that. Okay, you want to go out away from the house, go. There is a nice park there next to it. That would be a sensible thing. But sending through all the kinds of things and then to simply say that, look here, it's your karma. I gave you the freedom to go about. Why did you go into this place, that place? And if the child says, sir, I didn't have the knowledge, it was ignorance. Now, who is responsible for the ignorance? So, all these questions which people have not raised, are afraid of raising, dare not raise, all that Sri Aurobindo has raised and given complete answer. But for that, one has to read the entire Life Divine step by step. Right now, we are on the Cosmic Illusion. So it takes up the dream analogy, because this is one of the things, Brahma Satya, Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya. So Jagata, the world is described as a dream, it's a swapna. And we also see that in the Mandukya Upanishad, we have the Chatushpad Brahman, and there, you know, there is a dream state. So what is really meant by the dream? Now Sri Aurobindo takes a complete hard look at it. He says, look here, in dream, if you say that dream and waking state, if you bring into any kind of comparison, so first of all, in the dream state, there is no coherence, not one that we can immediately decipher. First, he starts from that, hard fact. Hard fact is we don't know what's going to happen, what happens. This kind of sequence, suddenly you are flying in the air, another time you are missing a train, then suddenly you see that you are running up and down a stair. All kinds of things are happening. There is a meaning behind it, but you don't understand what's happening. Second is that there is no control of the will. In the waking state, at least if you see something is happening, you will try to do something. But in the dream, if you have to miss a train, you miss a train. You try and run. Suddenly the staircase will be missing. Suddenly you will lose something, etc., etc. You don't have a cell phone to report. It's literally a very... So exactly to say dream state and the waking state, that this world is a dream state, this waking state is a dream state. No, it's not a dream state, because there is a difference between dream and this world. There is a certain degree of coherence in the incoherence. Nobody can deny that there are events, incidents which are like accidents, and that Sri Aurobindo will explain step by step. But there is in it, even when we sleep at night, wake up in the morning, we remember who we are and what we have to do. In the dream, we don't have any link between one dream and the other. And when we go back to dreaming the next day, now of course I know some people who did have consecutive dreams or a similar dream over a period of time. The famous is the movie Zanjeer, Amitabh Bachchan, where he sees the recurring dream. But it's not common. By and large, people, you can't say, "Arey, it was such a lovely dream. I wish I continue with the same dream." So you can't compare that this state is a dream in which we are living. And we have to wake up to that supreme reality. First of all, even a hard look at it. And then he will step by step tell us all about it. So page 436. Dream is felt to be unreal. First, because it ceases and has no further validity when we pass from one status of consciousness to another, which is our normal state. So when there is no continuation, no extension of the dream state. Last three lines. Four lines. The world is real to the consciousness dwelling in it. An unconditioned existence is real to the consciousness absorbed in nirvana, like dream and the waking. That is all that is established. That when you are dreaming, you are in a dream state. When you are waking, you are in a waking up state. That's all. You can't say this is illusion. That the point is contending. But the second reason for refusing credit to our sleep experience is that a dream is something evanescent, without antecedents and without a sequel, ordinarily too. So he speaks of all that well, we see that in our life as it is. Now here we should be very clear. He is saying our waking life, not he is not saying, that's what traditionally, that our waking experience is regarded as a dream from which we wake up to the ultimate reality. That's the whole thing. And in that waking experience, it includes sleep, dream, everything. All that we experience in a waking state. So he says, but in the waking state, there is some coherence and there is a reasonable control of will. Some control of will. And then he speaks of other disparities. But Sri Aurobindo will take up every counterpoint. So to develop the mind's logical faculties, if nothing else, you know, one should read Sri Aurobindo, because, you know, nobody could have challenged this kind of a mind. So Sri Aurobindo is his own, as they say, he gives a counterpoint and then he again takes it up, point which one may not have ever felt that yes, this too is valid. So he takes up on page 438. But it may be questioned whether our dreams are indeed totally unreal and without significance. So he is questioning that. Whether they are not a figure, an image record, or a symbolic transcript or representation of things that are real. So he says, yes, you can't just simply say that I don't make sense of it, therefore it's no sense. It's like when you learn a new language or when you go and meet, and language is not just verbal. There are gestures. So in Tamil Nadu, if somebody makes this gesture, he's simply asking why, or he's trying you to explain. But in North India, if you make this gesture, it may be a very aggressive posture. So there are gestures, but these gestures mean something. If I don't understand, it's my problem. So he first of all says, no, no, there is a coherence. Now you see, it may seem he is contradicting himself. No. He will take it to the ultimate possibility that in dream there is a coherence which we don't understand. And then he describes what are the kinds of dreams. That part we need not read, but just coming to that. So there is, between the waking state and slipping into the sleep, there is subconscious stairway through which we walk. And we can take the subconscious as that, you know, all day long, so many things happen, minute reactions, responses, which go automatically suppressed for various reasons. Either because it's not proper to suppress, you know, to express it, or because we cannot express it. You know, otherwise we may get a big beating. Like I had this person who was standing in front of balcony and doing a lot of exercises, this, that, taking off his clothes. I mean, almost. So, I mean, pant was still there. So I had to, you know, people sent me, and quite a, you know, tall guy, hefty guy. So I had to, but at least he was in front of balcony. I said, okay, that's a saving grace. So fortunately, he knew me. And when I said, come, we'll talk, he looked and he came. That was mother's grace. So I said, what is happening? He says, I'm feeling love. I said, okay, that's good. Nothing wrong with feeling love. I want to embrace everything and everybody. I said, this is very dangerous, you know, because you will get caught by the police. And or either you will end up with the asylum or the police will catch you. Especially if you start embracing all kinds of people. So somehow he understood that. Actually he was experiencing an onrush of experience which he just couldn't handle. So what he was doing was standing in front of balcony. He was doing all kinds of gestures to handle what he was experiencing. So then I asked him, there was a little discussion and how to handle it and maybe even some little medication, and it helped him, and he understood that these experiences come, flood of experiences, he cannot handle it. So similarly he says that, well, in the dream there is a language. Now if I wouldn't have asked him, or if a doctor doesn't ask him, simply says, oh, he is just a mad person, admit him, give him injections, he'll be cured. He used to have these attacks, by the way. And he used to be admitted and get cured. But first time he felt that somebody made sense out of what I am experiencing. So same thing here, that many times we just rubbish that whole thing, whatever is happening. So in the dream we slip through the subconscious stair where many things are hidden. Automatic impulses, reactions, we don't express. We express only very little. So when we are entering into the sleep state, first we encounter that. And there you will see many incoherent things. They have a meaning because they are residues we have left behind. But to get that meaning is very difficult. It's not needed also. Then we enter a state which Shobindo describes as a subliminal state. So what is the subliminal? Subliminal literally means below the threshold. This is the dream state of the Upanishads. When it speaks of the swapna, it means the subliminal. So subliminal is a state where, unlike the little ego self on the waking, where we are constantly moving around with our identity, and that identity can be so strong that as a doctor I am not supposed to do certain things. It's so strong. Even the dress I wear, sometimes, you know, what kind of a dress you are wearing and roaming around. Now it's difficult to explain that, you know, that identification is not there, but it's automatic. Automatic. So waking state is a conditioned state because of the ego. But the moment we enter into the subliminal, this conditioning is gone, and we can thereby enter into domains of consciousness which are not accessible to the waking state. Subliminal literally means below the threshold. And there we can dip deep down, where maybe all kinds of things we are waiting, fears can arise, sadness may emerge, excessive emotional things derailing us may arise from below. But equally in the subliminal, we can open to the superconscient. From there, intimations can come, inspirations can come, intuitions can come. Equally, we may open to the universal. And all that is happening in people around can get into us, but we will not come to know. We will just this little frontal ego simply becomes a transcribe. So Sri Aurobindo speaks of these two kinds of dreams. One is largely those impressions which are, we gather. One of the common example they say is that don't sleep if you are heavy on the stomach. This used to be very ancient saying, and there is a reason for it. Because if you are heavy on the stomach, what is happening? Most people, they are full, but the taste is not full. So you eat more. Now in the stomach, rumblings are going on. So when we sleep, immediately after a heavy meal, within a short time, maybe less than an hour. So what is happening is all this which you have quartz inside, it was happening even while eating, but we overate. Now those sensations, all that will begin to now have a field play. So that's why it was advised 2 hours, give a gap between eating and sleeping. It was very simple, practical advice. So this way, there are many subconscious elements which rise up initially. But then we enter the subliminal, of which most of us don't carry a record. In the subliminal, we open to all kinds of things. And then we enter still deeper and come in contact with the divine element, the Sachidanand. But that is only for a few minutes. That is what rejuvenates us. And then we come back, same journey through the subliminal, subconscious. And some of these dreams we may remember, especially early morning dreams. But we don't have the full sequence. So we don't understand. So first of all, he's saying that, well, dreams have their own meaning if you learn to look at it. Now, he is not admitting the illusion part. He is taking us step by step. So dreams have a language. And we have so many dreams. For example, if you now, one of them is psychoanalysis. Sri Aurobindo has himself given number of images whose meaning, for example, cow, sacred cow. So cow is a symbol always of plenty, because there is nothing of the cow which cannot be used. The one and only creature whose urine, dung, milk, and when she sheds the body, the hide, everything can be used. So she is Kamadhenu. See how we had devised a language. So elephant, prosperity. He is a poor fellow, he is a vegetarian. But see the way he gathers things. So Lakshmi is Vahan. So this is the whole language of all this. So in ancient times you would see like this. But now we have modern symbols. So train, rushing through. Missing a train, missing an inner opportunity. Aircraft, you're progressing at a fast speed. Crash of the, like one of the dreams which I remember, which is very interesting. I can share it. So during one of the difficult phases, so I was in an aircraft and suddenly we were just about 16 persons. And suddenly aircraft is running through thunderstorms and lightnings and we don't know what's going to happen. But then it goes through all that. It comes very near to the trees and looks like now it will crash. It goes through everything. Eventually it lands. And all of us come out. So everybody is walking out. And I say, who is this pilot? At least I must thank him. How can this be? This is seemingly impossible what he has done. So I go to thank the pilot. And guess who is the pilot? Pilot is Krishna. Actually in the dream it is Krishna. So I don't know what to say now. Of course, he is wearing a very nice dress, but I recognize him. So I went to say thank you, but I end up falling at the feet. What is it? Then his typical smile like Jao Bacha, abhi kuch nahi. And that moment I knew that the difficult phase is over, and which got translated in real life as the absolutely that sharp thing which was happening, that all that started getting resolved. Very soon it got resolved. So you see, there is a language. But if we mistranslate the language, what we will say? Arey, don't take an aircraft, air travel, because maybe, it will crash land. But that's not what the dream is telling me. Then there can be premonitory dream. In premonitory dream also, I had one of them. I'm just sharing these examples. that, you know, that I see that I am going in a car and all of us were to travel, myself, Kavita and Yutsu, and I am going in a car and suddenly the car breaks into two parts and I am sitting in the front part and somehow it changes into a hearse. Shamshan Gadi. And I am asking, where is he taking? And then suddenly, you know, that fellow is strange and suddenly he gets down and then I realize it has landed up in Muthialpet. Where you go? So I said, this is a very clear indication, premonitory, but I had to go travel. I had no option. I am forgetting what was the reason, but I had to travel. Probably visa appointment or something, I have forgotten. They had to go for their own reason. So I shared the dream and then what we did was a little trick. So the trick was that we changed the arrangement in the car. And I specifically told, because I had seen the black car, so I said, send a white car. And that way, and offered to mother and went with the mother's name. Till a point, it seemed that this fellow, and in spite of telling him, ki, you know, take it, but look like he will crash into anything, ma naam jap. And after a point, it was like that whole thing is clear. So there are dreams which are veridical of truth. There are dreams which are premonitory. So we can't completely say that dream is incoherent. And it raises a question also. That if this world is, even if you take the dream analogy, is it really a meaningless dream? Now Sri Aurobindo is interpreting it that way. Is it just a meaningless dream? Don't we get intimations from the superconscient realms which save us? We escape. So many, all of us must be having many such examples. I have my own store, but not sharing, but definitely everyone. So what happens? If it is just an illusory play, then what comes, intervenes and saves? It happens even in our waking life. Mother says that many times we don't even get to know that we have been saved by the grace. Most of the time we don't get to know. So if this dream is disconnected with that reality, then it should just be an, you know, like any dream, a totally incoherent thing, making no head or tail of anything. But that is not the case. So all that Sri Aurobindo describes, and then he described very interestingly, there is a dream builder which is the subconscious. Then he uses a very interesting term. There is a poem of Sri Aurobindo, Mother of Dreams. So subconscious is the dream builder, which is what Freud and psychoanalysis will tell us. But there is a greater dream builder, which is the subliminal. There are real experiences which we have gone through. We may remember, we may not remember. Like one example, somebody wrote to me today itself that, you know, he went through a dream, and then he says, suddenly I was having such a bad throat and everything, and I woke up and completely cured. So they are dreams where his whole dream indicated clear water, mother is sitting behind, very clearly that there was a dream intervention which changes the course of things. So he says, page 440, it is possible to become conscious deeper within our subliminal selves. So first the subconscious, then the subliminal selves. And we are then aware of experiences on other planes of our being, or even in supraphysical worlds to which sleep gives us a right of secret entry. Why in waking consciousness we can't? Because we have so many rational barriers. It can't be. Are, how come I saw something? Did I really see? So mind automatically shuts the door. A transcript of such experiences reaches us, but the transcriber here is not the subconscious, it is the subliminal, a greater dream builder. And he says that if the subliminal comes to the forefront, we could have, in the waking consciousness, we have problem which we could not solve. We solve warnings, premonitions, indications of the future, veridical dreams, replace the normal subconscious incoherence. So he explains at great length the whole action of the subliminal. But even this may be objected. Okay. Page 443. Our waking state is unaware of its connection with the subliminal being. All inspiration, intuition are all coming from the subliminal, through the subliminal. If the passage is open, it will come more often. But most of the time when it comes, we either ignore it or we give it a different twist and turn. It's a very fascinating subject, I must say. And if I get into it, it's a whole week-long subject, because how dream, you know, we'll take probably a separate talk on that. But without any knowledge of the place of origin, the inspirations, intuition, page 443, the inspirations, intuitions, ideas, will suggestions, it also can push the will, do that. There is a story where there was a car stopped in front of the ashram because the driver stopped. He said he was some lady he was carrying, but he wanted to go to the ashram, do pranam and come. So he asked her that, can I? So she said, okay. She kept sitting, doing whatever it was. And he got down and went to the ashram. Now, Udar Da was seeing this, saw this. And he saw the lady is sitting there. And the driver has got down, went to the samadhi and come back. So he felt like saying that rightly it is said in the Bible that it is easier to make a camel pass through the eye of the needle than to make a rich man turn to God. He got this, but he controlled it. He goes to the mother and says, Mother, today I control myself. And mother says, yes, yes, I know. I had sent the message and I wanted you to say this. Had you said this, it was possible that the life of that lady would have changed. He got the message, and the message was exactly in Christian terms. She was a lady who had come from abroad. And mother had inspired him, and he felt, I should not say this because decency, that, you know, I am not, how can I say I don't know her? So there are intimations, there are turns of will suddenly. And you know, if we look at in our lives, so many people say suddenly a video they come across as a suggestion, or you know, like we had this coming to Pondicherry, many of us, from where? From, like, we are not born to, you know, parents who are devotees. And equally, children of devotees, they may not be interested, they may go elsewhere. So there is a whole world within which we don't know. And that's where the dream suggestions. So there are inspirations, intuitions, ideas, will suggestions, sense suggestions, urges to action, that rise from below or from behind our limited surface existence. So this is the subliminal, and that's why it is described in the Upanishads as the seer of inner things and of supraphysical experiences. The surface subconscious is only a transcriber. It is for this reason that the Upanishad describes the subliminal being as the dream self. So, Shubhendra has used the word subliminal for the dream self. And why he has used it? Because he is more accurate. It is below the threshold of awareness, but connected with that. So, you know, he has used the modern term. Because it is normally in dreams, visions, absorbed states of inner experience that we enter into and are part of its experiences. Just as it, that is the Upanishad, describes the superconscient as the sleep self, because normally all mental or sensory experiences cease when we enter this superconscious. So this is the thing. In some people the gate is very loose, and very often they get intimations like that. Because the door, especially those who have very developed reason, their gate is very jammed. And Shubhendra speaks that even I had to struggle because he was intellectually so developed. But otherwise, and nowadays, but if your intellect is strangely not so developed, so the gate will be ajar and visions and experiences will be more common. So this is what he is describing. And then he describes the fourth state of self described by the Atman. So here he takes up the question. No doubt, so it first speaks of this, of course, the Mandukya Upanishad, where he's speaking about the Jagrat state, the Swapna state, and then the Pragya, and then the Swapna state is also described as Hiranyagarbha, and then the Pragya or Susupti, and then there is the fourth or the Turiya. These are the four states described. So now he says, no doubt, all the three states, page 444, can be classed as parts of an illusion. Now he is not letting go of that. He says, yes, you can say even these so-called higher states, that's how ultimate illusionist Advaita goes into that. That's exactly what Buddha says. Even the experience of God-like beings, even of God, he says it's an illusion. And in Savitri, we see this line where the queen asks Narad, where begins and ends illusion's reign? Where can you say it's not an illusion? So if you take Buddha, he is actually more complete in that sense. So no doubt, all the three states can be classed as parts of an illusion. Our experiences of them can be ranked together as constructions of an illusory consciousness. Our waking state no less illusory than our dream state or sleep state. Since the only true truth or real reality is the incommunicable self or one existence, Atman, Advaita, which is the fourth state of the self described by the Vedanta. This is one possibility. Then he gives the other possibility. But it is equally possible to regard and rank them together as three different orders of one reality, which makes much more complete and logical sense actually. But otherwise, how do you explain this? Where is this illusion beginning and how is it beginning? Advaita doesn't answer it. This Maya, why it comes, where it comes, it has no answer to that. It leaves that. That look here, don't raise a question about why Miss Maya came and wooed Mr. Brahman. All that you should know, come out of it. So it's that way, that don't ask how it came. Because the moment you say it originated in him, in the Brahman, then there is a problem. Somewhere he has given a sanction. So he says that, well, one possibility is all this is illusion and this is the only real, the fourth state, the Turiya. But it is equally possible to regard and rank them together as three different orders of one reality or as three states of consciousness in which is embodied our contact with three different grades of self-experience and world experience. So one is that I am, what I think, what I feel, what I write, what I do is irrelevant. See the danger of this doctrine. And there are people who have interpreted like that. There was a movie on this, Ux, where this Manoj Bajpayee, he says, na koi marta hai, na marta hai, nobody kills, nobody is killed. The great truth of the Gita. So whatever you do, because it's illusion, you have to just realize that self. So this is one way. Other is, you see, all this is part of one reality. Thinking, feeling may not be my ultimate truth, but it is happening within me. Writing, I can't say I disown this writing. Of course, you can disown in the higher sense when somebody tried to read something Sri Aurobindo had written. And he said, sir, I am not able to decipher what you have written. So Sri Aurobindo says, I can take a look, but I also find it difficult to read my handwriting. That is a joyous way. But otherwise, I can't say that I am not responsible for what has emerged from me. So he says, you can take both these. If this is a true account of dream experience, dreams can no longer be classed as a mere unreal figure of unreal things. Now the second option he's taking. Temporarily imposed upon our half-consciousness as a reality, the analogy therefore fails even as an illustrative support for the theory of the cosmic illusion. It's like, I have written the book but I have not written. Not as a humble self, you may say. At least I remember when Death Rang and Beyond, the first book, so I said, no need to write the name. He said, no, name is not being written because of anything else. But somebody has to be responsible If you have written something wrong, they can catch you. I said, oh yes, there is a point. That was the first book. I said, I don't want that. No, no. You have to be responsible. Otherwise, who will they catch? Society is publishing the book, but there has to be an author. I said, yes, I am ready to stick my neck into it. So Brahman is not playing that. No, I am not responsible for what I have done. He says, I am responsible. So this is the basic difference, that why. And then he goes at great length to describe all this. As I said, it's a long subject. Page 445. But we must note also that even if our image view of the universe, our sense transcript is a system of symbol images and not an exact reproduction or transcription, a literal translation, still a symbol is a notation of something that is a transcript of realities. Maybe the language is distorted. Possible. But there is someone out there who is speaking and trying to communicate. Maybe the instrument is not good enough to catch. Like the inspiration may not be received very well. Maybe the intuition got mixed. But there is a power, there is an agency which is sending us the intimations which we are unable to describe. So, transcribe. So there is a problem with the instrumentality. But we cannot rubbish this entire thing as non-existent reality. And so then he comes to, and therefore, on the same page, the dream analogy fails us altogether and is better put out of the way. It can always be used as a vivid metaphor of a certain attitude our mind can take towards its experiences. So it has its limited partial utility. How it helps is very simple. As I say, and I keep telling many of my clients, that look here, you are going through this, I understand, but it'll pass away. Have faith in the divine. So in that state, like dreams pass away and you wake up to reality. So this idea that this will pass away, this is there. Don't do anything under this state when the whole thing is clouded and all kinds of things are happening inside. Yes, so in that sense, as a metaphor, just like dreams pass away. And so many of us have had even those experiences of large python following us, chasing. And suddenly last minute you are saved. And then you wake up and say, ah, thank God, there is no real python. So it will pass away. So this is where we have to remember. It's useful temporarily as a vivid metaphor. But it has no value for a metaphysical inquiry into the reality and fundamental significances of the origin of universe. So this where he will stop. He also takes up hallucination, which we need not much go into, because this is also one of the metaphors used. And then he comes to what really is the mind, what is the role of the mind, because that's where we are told that it's because of the mind which is throwing up images. Even this entire creation is a cosmic mind. Mind has created all this. Come out of the mind. So, you know, mind, never mind. Matter, doesn't matter. Bertrand Russell. Ultimately. So, we'll continue after 10 minutes of break.